The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Damn, Kyrie. You want all the shots? Kyrie Irving returned, scored 37 points in a double overtime loss to the Cavs. And by the way, in a matter of moments, Robert Saleh, the new Jets head coach, the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers for the last several years, who took over the dead last worst defense in football, and within a year had them as a top five or six defense in consecutive years. I was hoping the Giants were going to make him the head coach at one point. I thought, oh, that'd be a nice, competent hire. They didn't go in that direction. I've been happy with Joe Judge so far. I was a little suspicious early, but a little cynical early, but I think he's pretty good. But the Jets got a good one. It may be a first step toward trying to make that organization less of a laughing stock. Got a lot of draft capital right now, and Deshaun Watson looks to be on the trade market. So there's a lot to get into. As soon as Saleh starts his press conference, we're going to bring it to you live. By the way, first Muslim head coach in the history of the NFL. Lebanese American, first generation. So we're going to get into all that. But while we're waiting for Robert Saleh, let me just say, L.A., you're not exactly quaking in your boots right now, Lakers fans, right, about what you saw from the Brooklyn Nets last night? Only thing I want to say is this. I'm not worried. Well, it's not the only thing I want to say. I'm going to be talking for the next 2 hours. But one of the things I want to say, I'm not worried about Kyrie Irving, you know, hoisting up 28 shots. It was a double overtime game, first of all. That's not really what concerns me at this moment. Because I almost like it, and I'll tell you why. The temptation for Kyrie would be to come back, or for someone else in Kyrie's position, would be to come back and, oh, look how well Harden and KD are sharing the ball and da-da-da-da. I can't put up too many shots because then people are going to say I'm being greedy, I'm shooting too much, you know, whatever, selfish. And then he would start to get into his own head and not really be Kyrie. But he didn't do that. Kyrie came out and shot and shot and shot whenever he had a shot, even difficult shots. That's what he does. Now, he's going to have to temper that over time, learn how to play with those guys. But I'm not worried about it starting like that. I think that's fine. I think people are overreacting to that a little bit. I am worried about the defense. What kind of defense was that? I mean, and here's the thing. Yes, Colin Sexton lost his mind. But people are forgetting. Forget about the defensive effort throughout regulation, which was not stellar. People are forgetting Sexton was making bad decisions, taking bad shots in double teams. They were doubling Sexton, and he was taking bad shots and missing them. And the Nets were coming back, right? And in overtime, it looked like they were going to win, maybe. What happened? Like, how are they able to do that? And here's the Nets' defense. Jetty Osman, who was good early in the game, they would just leave him. They wouldn't go back. It's not like they would stunt or something like that, or you know, rotate back to him, or they were just late. They just left him. Goodbye. All alone. And Bickerstaff must have seen, like, after two or three, you know, possessions, Bickerstaff was like, oh, okay. Got Osman the ball. He scored easily. And now all of a sudden, the Nets couldn't just leave him alone. And now all of a sudden, they couldn't double Sexton. Yeah, by the way, their defense wasn't awful on Sexton, but that dude is comfortable shooting with a hand in his face. He's not worried about that, and he started canning all his shots, and the Nets lost. But I think the deeper problem is they don't seem to have a defensive identity. They look confused as to who's supposed to do what, and they don't get any defensive boards. You know, one of the things about the James Harden trade was Dinwiddie gets hurt, so now you're thinned out a little bit. The way I know they were playing LeVert in the second unit early in the season. I really think Dinwiddie was going to wind up running the second unit. And by the way, when guys are playing 35 minutes a night, there's overlap. You know, it's not like, oh, he's a sixth man. He's not playing. He plays with the starters plenty, only 48 minutes in a game. So there's plenty of overlap. But who's going to really run the second unit? I think it would have wound up being Dinwiddie. Not LeVert. But anyway, he gets hurt. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, what do we do here? We need a little bit more. We got thinned out. So they trade LeVert, who wound up with an issue with his kidneys, something on his kidney, and, you know, knock, you know, like, not knock wood, hopefully he's going to be physically be okay. But they trade LeVert and Jared Allen, along with obviously a slew of picks, in the James Harden deal. Now they're even more thinned out. That's three of their best six players. Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie. You know, at the time, along with KD, Kyrie, and Joe Harris. This is six best dudes. Three of them are gone. So they get Kyrie. And I think he's actually, and Kendrick Perkins was talking about on the air today on First Take, he's going to have to run the second unit. It doesn't mean he won't play with KD and James Harden. Again, if you're playing 35 minutes a night, all these guys, they're all going to play together. But who's going to run the show with the second unit? It's got to be Kyrie. But what concerns me is no Jared LeVert, no defensive boards. So you saw some defensive possessions from the Nets last night, and they would be okay, actually. But just because a guy gets a shot off, it's not the end of the possession. You got to go grab that rebound. They weren't doing it. Who's going to do it? DeAndre Jordan? DeAndre Jordan, you ain't going to play him 30 minutes plus a game. He's just not that good of a player anymore, especially in this NBA. They're going to have to add a piece, I think, on defense. A defensive rebounding piece on defense. But look, and they gave up 147 points. Of course, that's in a double overtime. And Sexton lost his mind. He went unconscious, hitting shots from everywhere. They're going to have to address the defense, the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not too worried about Kyrie shooting a lot. Not yet. They're going to have to address the defense. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, Kyrie, what do you think about finally playing with KD and James Harden in an actual NBA game?
Man, always playing a game that I love, I'm grateful. So I never take it for granted. And then also to be, you know, playing with Kevin Durant, James Harden, just those names alone right now, we're having some fun. But it's not just about us, and I always say that. You know, we'll have good nights, we'll have great nights, but it's how we galvanize this group together and how we sacrifice and compromise for the greater good. You know, and that still remains to be seen. Right. Obviously, one game's out the way, but
all right, Kyrie,
I'm
don't mean to cut you off.
What's to come?
All right, Kyrie, don't mean to cut you off. But the new head coach of the New York Jets is talking right now. Robert Saleh at his introductory press conference. We're going to take you there live.
I want to thank the Shanahan family, Kyle, Mandy, and Mike Shanahan for the opportunity they also gave me and the support they showed throughout those 4 years. The players, the coaching staff, everybody that's been involved in this journey from the 49ers organization, I can't thank you all enough. I also want to take this time to acknowledge my family with regards to my parents, my siblings, all the different family members back home who have helped me throughout this journey. I haven't done it alone, and I couldn't have done it without you. I do want to recognize my wife. She's the rock that I stand on. She is the heartbeat of our entire family, and without her, again, there's no way that I'd be here today. To our players, myself and the entire coaching staff are beyond excited to work with each and every single one of you. We're going to do this thing together. To our organization, get used to the mantra, all gas, no break. When we talk about all gas, no break, we're not talking about effort on the field. We're talking about the process at which we do things. We're talking about the way we prepare, the way we wake up every single morning, the way we rehab, the way we communicate, the way we speak to one another. Cannot tell you enough about how excited I am to work with this entire Jets organization and understanding that when we wake up in the morning, we will all, from top down, step on the pedal and find a way to get somewhat better than we were when we woke up. To our fans, we embrace your passion. We embrace your expectations. We cannot wait to go on this journey with you. Please understand, we understand that we have a lot of work to do, but make no mistake, that our goal is to win championships. And so again, I cannot wait to get through this journey with all of y'all. It's going to be an exciting time, and I promise that you're going to love what y'all see.
Thank you, Coach. At this time, we will begin the Q&A portion. As a reminder, please use the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen to be added to the queue. You will receive an on-screen notification to unmute your line. Please state your name, organization, and who your question is directed to.
This is the Max Kellerman Show. I'm Max Kellerman. You're listening to Robert Saleh at the Jets press conference, introductory press conference. He's the new head coach, first Muslim head coach in the history of the NFL. Born to Lebanese immigrants. He's first generation Lebanese American.
Will you said you were open to changing the organizational structure. Will you guys change the structure, or will Robert and Joe still report directly to you?
That structure has changed. Joe will report to me. Robert will report to Joe. It seems a clean and simple way to do things, but honestly, not much really changes. We have a very good communication already. I don't think that that's going to alter things here all that much, truly.
And then, Robert, my question for you is just the Jets have lost 57 games in the last 5 years, 35 in the last three. There's been a losing culture in that building for a while. What is your plan for changing that?
We understand that with regards to the what's happened in the past. You know, what we do challenge everybody is to really judge us on moving forward. You know, when you look at the plan and what we have in place with regards to scheme, offense, defense, special teams, and the mindset at which we're going to do it, there's an investment that's going to be made to one another. Coaches to players, players to coaches, organization to everybody. And there's an investment that's going to be reciprocated. But understanding that the all gas, no break mentality that we're going to have with how we wake up in the morning, how we rehab, how we prepare for meetings, how we take the practice field, how we're deliberate in everything we do will lead to the results that you'll see on Sunday. It will take time, but everything we do is going to be designed to win championships in the future. And so when we talk about all gas, no break, and that mentality, waking up in the morning, putting your foot to the pedal, and having that mindset, again, go to bed better than when you woke up. That's the mindset we're going to have. And again, we are very confident that's going to lead to championships.
Robert Saleh, the new Jets head coach, at his introductory press conference here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. A far cry from Adam Gase's introductory press conference, looking crazy with his eyes, not instilling any confidence. This dude, all gas, no brakes. That's the new motto in New York. Tell you what, I feel like I can go out and do something now. All gas, no brakes.
Beforehand, and then Robert, I was wondering if you could address Sam Darnold and what you think of him as a player and his potential future with this team.
Connor, do you want me to go first or Coach Saleh? I'll go first. In terms of coach, you know, this was a daunting task with this search. I feel like it was all hands on deck mentality, and you know, just working in collaboration with Christopher, with Jaime, our staff, our football ops staff. You know, we really canvassed the National Football League, and what kept coming back time and time again was how great of a candidate that Coach Saleh was. And so when we talk about our criteria and what we're looking for in a coach, he checked all those boxes, the integrity, the passion, the ability to connect. So getting an opportunity to meet him for the first time, just confirmed what everyone had said about him.
With regards to Sam, you know what? My experience would be I could talk about the way we game planned back earlier in the season and studying Sam and trying to come up with a plan when we played the Jets. And what I can tell you with regards to Sam is that he's got an unbelievable arm talent. There's a reason why he was the number three pick in the draft. He's fearless in the pocket. He's got a natural throwing motion. He's mobile. He's extremely intelligent. And like he's tough as nails. His reputation in the locker room is unquestioned. And so just that in general, there's a reason why he was the third pick in the draft. And you can see all those qualities on tape and around the building and the way people speak about him.
And that was Robert Saleh, Jets' new head coach. All gas, no brakes. What I want to do, just as a sociological experiment, is track speeding tickets in New York City and the surrounding areas. All gas, no brakes. If you're in your car right now listening to that, don't tell me you didn't pick up a few miles per hour right there. That's it. That's inspirational. Raj, clip that. That's got to be the new mod. Well, no, not on this show. It's a lot of effort. Sometimes you got to hit the brakes. The Jets should go all gas, no brakes. The rest of us, sometimes we got to hit the brakes. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, more NFL hiring news. Adam Schefter tweeted, the Eagles are hiring Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni as their head coach, sources tell ESPN's Adam Schefter. Raj writes Schefter tweet and then says, sources tell ESPN. Raj, Adam Schefter works for ESPN. How many times we got to say that it's the sources tell ESPN? Not every time you're impressed by a press conference does the guy turn out. Does he pan out? But you have a pretty good feeling from Sala based on that press conference. Just like you had a pretty bad feeling about Adam Gase. I didn't know what to think about Joe Judge. Some people were impressed. I was like, I don't know. He's being a little bit, you know, like tough guy about everything, but doesn't really come in with the equity. But Joe Judge has panned out. Other guys like Mike Tomlin, first time I saw him. At the first, well, when he was doing his Steelers introductory press conference, run the ball, stop the run, Steelers football. I'm like, okay, I like this guy. Sala, he's impressive. And by the way, the credentials are there. He got the results in San Francisco with the defense. Meantime, Sirianni spent 3 seasons as the Chiefs' assistant coach, 5 seasons with the Chargers, 3 with the Colts. He's now 39 years old. And he is the head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now the question is, how fast can he get rid of Carson Wentz? Like, if anyone's being hired to fix Carson Wentz, I got bad news for you. Carson Wentz ain't getting fixed. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jets fans, you like your new head coach? What do you think? Meantime, a lot of stuff going on in New York sports now. You know, when you look at L.A., LeBron James got his Lakers right where everyone thought they'd be, and they're likely to win the title again. The Dodgers just won the championship. The Rams made the playoffs. The Chargers are looking good with maybe the best young, talented quarterback in the NFL. Justin Herbert, you know, I mean, I don't know. I didn't think Joe Burrow was not better than Justin Herbert this year. And Joe Burrow was good. Justin Herbert was better than Joe Burrow this year. Let me be very clear. They were both good. Yes, they were. Justin Herbert was clearly better. And Joe Burrow was quite impressive. Herbert is a stud. A lot of stuff going on in L.A. But meantime, in New York, Jets are looking up. Giants have a real coach. By the way, the Mets are making moves. The Yankees are right where they normally are. A powerhouse. The Knicks, Stephen A. Smith was trying to brag on them today. They're 7-8. Come on, man. Knicks can't get any love until they're over 500. Stop that, everybody. But the Nets are probably the biggest story in the NBA right now, right? Lakers face the Bucks tonight. Coming off a loss, AD's not trying to lose 2 straight, right? But the Nets are the biggest story in the NBA right now. And by the way, Lakers fans, I know you're looking at Brooklyn going, we ain't worried about that defense. And you're right. I don't think this is the team that you're going to see if they make the finals. I think the Nets are going to make a move to shore up the defense and the defensive rebounding. And I think that Steve Nash will figure it out. Kyrie is going to be running the second unit. Of course, he'll play plenty of minutes. He'll start, but he'll also get minutes with the second unit running that show. And keep in mind, when these dudes learn to play with each other, with Joe Harris, it is an unguardable situation. The question is, are those guys going to be able to play with each other? I'll remind people that the New York Knicks made a trade with the Baltimore Bullets back in the day for Earl the Pearl Monroe. How's he going to? It's only one ball. How's he going to share a backcourt with Walt Clyde Frazier? They won the championship together. Kyrie, James Harden, and KD can play together. Can Kyrie? Isaac in Ohio. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know that even if the Jets do get Deshaun Watson, they don't stand a chance.
Against whom do they not stand a chance?
Anybody. Hey, I think this coach is going to start to turn things around, but I don't think they're going to have what it takes to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years.
Scintillating call. Listen, if they get Deshaun Watson, and if you think Saleh's a real coach, and I do, I think he's going to be a good coach. He's an excellent defensive coordinator. And you get Deshaun Watson, at that point, it ain't that hard. You got some promise on the offensive line already. You pick up one or two more pieces on the O-line, Deshaun Watson, and then what else do you need for a team? Running backs are a dime a dozen. You don't need an exceptionally great running back if you got an O-line. You need one dynamic playmaker to add to that mix at receiver. And then you need a couple of pieces on defense. You get Deshaun Watson, the Jets are going to be sitting pretty for a long time.
Max, the podcast.
Hey, New York. Salo's good fit for the Jets, yes or no? You like what you heard in the press conference? By the way, little news out of that press conference is the structure of the Jets' chain of command is changing. Saleh just reports to Joe Douglas, the coach to the GM, which is the way it's supposed to work, not to some kind of, not like the GM is bypassed or anything like that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Feeling good, Jets fans? I think you should be feeling good right now. Conor McGregor returns to the Octagon Saturday in a rematch against Dustin Poirier. UFC 257, only on ESPN+. UFC 257 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/pay-per-view. Sorry, /PPV. Stands for pay-per-view, but Raj, it doesn't say pay-per-view. You have to write PPV. ESPNplus.com/PPV. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, Joel Embiid had 42 points and 10 rebounds last night. Sixers are really good. They're really good. Embiid is the MVP of the league so far, in my opinion. Both sides of the floor. I was talking to Shaq about that today, by the way. He was trying to tell me no at first, but when you play defense the way Embiid's been playing defense and you're giving him 42 on the other end and your team has the best record in the conference, Tobias Harris, who's played very well this year, chipped in 22. And the Sixers beat the Celtics. Marcus Smart after the game talking about how many free throws Joel Embiid shot. Yeah, and he's politicking through the media with the refs, and that's smart for Smart to do. But the reality is Embiid's response is right. Embiid, you know, Embiid is fouled on a lot of plays like Shaq once was, especially when he gets it on the low block. Like, you know, they let you get away with more down there. And he's being doubled and tripled constantly, by the way, and he's still giving you the business. Tobias Harris said, it's not sort of, it's for sure MVP caliber talking about Embiid. Off to the best start of his career, 40 points for the second time in three games, 12 of 19 from the floor with a three-pointer, 17 of 21 from the free throw line. In 34 minutes, by the way, scored 20 points in a half for the, how many times? Fifth time this season. This is a quote from Embiid. If they double, we've got way too many shooters for me to be able to kick it out to Danny Green, and they brought in Seth Curry. And by the way, Dwight Howard, he's fouling guys too much, but he's been active defensively for the minutes he's been getting. Embiid said, I can attack in different styles. It's been working well. It sure has. They're really good. Embiid is really good. That's the truth. By the way, and we got this big NFL weekend. Like, speaking of MVPs coming up, I want so much to get to today, and then this Jets press conference. You realize, I want to just tell you something, because it's an unbelievable Final Four we have in terms of the quality of quarterbacks. Josh Allen, great young quarterback, and a peripheral MVP candidate this season, on the periphery of the MVP discussion. Aaron Rodgers, the MVP this year. Tom Brady, who had a miraculous season. And Patrick Mahomes. You know something about Patrick Mahomes? You know he was 14-1 this year? 14-1. And for his career, his touchdown interception ratio is ridiculous. 50 TDs, 12 interceptions, MVP the first time he started. Went to the AFC Championship game, if not for a pre-snap penalty. They go to the Super Bowl and I believe beat the Rams. Second year, he wins the Super Bowl by calling his own number at the end of the game with the game on the line. Takes like a 15-step drop, throws the ball 60 yards to win the game, basically. Come on, wins Super Bowl MVP. And then this year, improves his touchdown interception ratio again, goes 14-1 as a starter. You know what he is in the playoffs? You know what Mahomes is in the playoffs right now? He's 5-1 in the playoffs, 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's even better when you need him most. And the one loss, the one so-called loss, AFC Championship game, Tom Brady throws an interception to end the game. Pre-snap penalty, Brady gets the ball back, Mahomes never gets to touch the ball in overtime. That's the so-called loss for Mahomes. Get out of here. That dude should be 7-0 in the playoffs. 14-2. He is so good. And by the way, it's going to settle a lot of stuff. What's going to happen? If Brady beats Aaron Rodgers, then it's like, whoa, look at this. Tom Brady wasn't just benefiting from the AFC East weak quarterback competition or benefiting from Bill Belichick's presence. He goes to Tampa year one, gets to the Super Bowl, gets past Aaron Rodgers in one of Rodgers' best seasons where Rodgers has continuity and Brady doesn't. That'd be an amazing, not just feather in the cap of Brady, but really enhancing his legacy and settling some debates. And I'm on the other side of those debates, but you got to call it like you see it. Based on new information. For Rodgers, if he beats Brady, it's like, oh yeah, you see? You see, like when we're kind of on evenly matched teams, Rodgers is better than Brady. Meantime, Brady Rodgers may sort of be like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in the AFC with the young guys. And then almost any permutation you get, I guess people don't really want to see like Josh Allen versus Tom Brady, right? But could you imagine Brady versus Mahomes at Tampa with a Super Bowl on the line? Or Mahomes versus Rodgers for, yeah, whoever the greatest is. These are the two best who ever played the position. But all of this is leading me to tell you one thing. I'm going to get to a lot of calls in this show. I promise. I am going to get to a lot of calls. I know a lot of people want to talk about a lot of stuff today. Consider this. Talked about this on First Take today, but consider this. When, you know, like, think of great starts to careers, like Tom Brady. He won championships early. But the suspicion was, yeah, the defense is carrying you. You got to be big on third down. Get your great field goal kicker within range, and you can barely win the game, right? Okay, and Brady's very good, but is he really as talented as, like, Peyton Manning? And then later on, Aaron Rodgers, or even back then, Brett Favre? No, they got more talent, but he's in a better situation, right? Joe Montana, same thing. He's with Bill Walsh and Jerry Rice, and what a great situation. But you looked at Dan Marino, and you thought, pure talent, Dan Marino. You know what I mean? Mahomes is like Montana or Brady in terms of his situation, but like Marino or Rodgers in terms of the talent. We've never had a situation like this where both talent and situation is number one all time, maybe? Think about it. 3 years starting, an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, improving every season, might win another Super Bowl MVP right now. Never went to less than the AFC Championship game. Ooh, this is a great championship weekend in the NFL coming up. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max? I want to chime in on the Jets briefly. I think Robert Saleh is the absolute correct hire. He has the charisma, but more so he has the accountability so that when times are tough, he's going to stand tall and give people answers, not duck and run. Also, the Jets lost half of their games by 10 points or less. What he's going to be able to do for that defense. I think the Jets are going to be competitive. I think they hit a home run with Robert Saleh.
Zoran, and where is he? In Milwaukee. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Max, how's it going? I just wanted to get your opinion on Aaron Rodgers and if the Packers win another title this year, where that would put Aaron Rodgers in the GOAT talks in your eyes.
Well, yes, he would improve his status there, but the GOAT, like the greatest of all time, really refers to the accomplishments. You know, Montana was 4-0 in the Super Bowl, 13 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He was the GOAT. He made better decisions than everyone with the ball, and he was in the best situation. And it's hard to kind of isolate quarterback play because it is such a team game, and the leadership that a quarterback shows and his relationship with the head coach is integral to the team. It's not like the NBA or MLB where I think you can isolate value quite as easily. Brady, same thing. Brady's Montana, basically, but a longer career at the top. He's the GOAT. Rodgers is better. When you just watch Rodgers, you can see he's better than those guys, but his situation wasn't as good. And I think it's going to be hard to argue that Rodgers is the GOAT if he ends with two chips and Brady's got six. And by the way, it is possible he ends with one and Brady has seven. That's possible too. I mean, if Rodgers wants to even... But by the way, Rodgers is so great, his talent is so obvious, that if he wins this one and maybe one more before he's done, he ends on three and Brady ends on six, Rodgers will have a case. He'll have a case. Because the eyeball test says, yeah, of course Rodgers is better. And if you talk to players who've played against both, no one's ever told me who played against both off the record. Yeah, it's close. They're all like, oh yeah, Rodgers better than Brady.
Max, the podcast.
Take it Brady or Rodgers on Sunday. 888-SAY-ESPN. Who has more to gain? Who has more to lose? 888-729-3776. Brady or Rodgers, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. Brady versus Rodgers. The GOAT versus the boat. Greatest of all time versus maybe the best of all time. Till Mahomes came along. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. ESPN NFL Jets insider Rich Samidi joins me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Rich, you there?
I am here. How you doing, Max? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man. I know you're busy. I got two quick ones for you. The first one is the news that came out. The newsy part seems to be that they're restructuring the kind of flow chart in terms of the organization with the coach reporting to the GM, as is normally the case in functioning organizations. Your thoughts?
Yes, exactly. The Jets were doing it a different way since 2015. They were having the coach and the GM report directly to the owner. And, you know, they weren't alone in that. There are other teams that do that, but clearly it wasn't working for the Jets. I mean, they've been doing nothing but losing, you know, over that span. So they've changed it, and you spelled it out correctly. You know, more power for the GM, Joe Douglas, which I think is good, because he's the guy who ran this coaching search. He was the point man, and this is his guy. He picked Robert Saleh, and so I think it's good to have one football guy in charge of the organization instead of an owner who really doesn't know football.
Anything else to report that is not widely known? And if not, what struck you other than what we just talked about the press conference?
Well, their owner is coming back into the picture. Woody Johnson, who's been the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom for the last 3 years, is on a plane as we speak, flying back to the U.S. He will step back into his role as day-to-day owner immediately. So Christopher Johnson, who's been running it for 3 years, will go back into the number two chair. And so that's it. You know, so they have a new owner. So that's really interesting. And they have their coordinators. They announced Mike LaFleur from San Francisco will be on offense, and you know, Jeff Ulbrich from Atlanta will be the defensive coordinator. And I thought Robert Saleh did a good job. I mean, it wasn't some crazy bravado, over-the-top predictions. He was even-tempered. He had a clear, concise vision of what he wants from the Jets. And so I think he did a really solid job in his press conference.
Rich, thanks a million. I know you're busy right now. Really appreciate you jumping on.
You bet. Thanks, Max.
That's ESPN NFL Jets insider Rich Samidi. By the way, Woody Johnson took a position, you know, handed out by the Trump administration. That's a scandalized administration, and many people are going to find it difficult to re-enter polite society if they've been associated with it. And Woody Johnson may be one of them. Let's see. I told everyone I was going to get the calls, Roger. I want to see if I can sneak in a few. Kyle in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing? I wanted to touch on the Saleh thing. I'm, as a North 49er fan, just wanted to say, like, with the Jets, I feel like that they're going to be, in the next 2 to 3 years, that they'll have a top five defense at least. And if they sign draft Josh Fields, I say they'll be in the championship game in the next 2 or 3 years too.
Well, I mean, that depends on Sam Darnold, and it also depends on, you know, if he's the long-term guy, what can he be? And Saleh seemed to support, like, and I agreed with a lot of the things Saleh said about Sam Darnold. I just wonder about Darnold. Is he, in baseball, they're called 4A players. In AAA, they're really good, but they somehow can't translate it to the majors. I wonder if Darnold, at least at this point in his career, is a 4A player. You know, he has all the trappings of a successful NFL quarterback, and he's in a dysfunctional organization until now. I get it. But somehow it hasn't translated to success on the field. He's statistically been the worst quarterback in football, even a little bit worse than Carson Wentz. Lakers got the Bucks tonight. Are they worried about the Nets' big three? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.